Hello, all of my delicious friends, and welcome to this brief message from me, Devannon, the host of the Sex, Drugs, and Jesus podcast. I wanted to take God led me to sit down this evening just to record a quick message for y'all because it's been on my heart about the things that people cause themselves to lose in this life whenever they're harboring resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and things like that. So let me start right off with the word. Y'all know I love me some Jesus Christ. I'm not opposed to any religion. I don't harbor any sort of ill will towards people who don't believe like I believe, but hey, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything, as some wise sage once said. Proverbs 19 and verse 11 from the Amplified version of the Christian Bible reads that good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is to his honor and glory to overlook a transgression or an offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. Okay, so what this is saying is that when you hold on to resentments and anger and unforgiveness, you're really, really hurting yourself. What I'm trying to warn you about is how these things can make you feel good in your flesh, like in your reasoning, like it gives you a false sense of validation and things like that, just like a drug would. Okay, not like a good positive drug, like a psychedelic or something like that, but something one might binge out on in order to escape their reality or in order to patch over hurt or an old wound, and you know what I'm talking about. To me, when a person holds on to resentment, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, it's just like keeping a part of that person who hurt you with you. Whether you realize it or not, it's just like you've established a soul tie with that person. Think about it. If somebody hurt you and years down the road, you're still carrying that with you. You haven't let it go. Every time you walk out the house to go somewhere or try to engage with the world in any kind of way, be it in your home or wherever, it's like that person and their negativity is right there with you, yet holding you back. Anger and bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and resentment gives you a false sense of power. If all of that is still in you, you cannot detach yourself from it. So in other words, we don't get to say, okay, I'm fixing to go to the movies with my friends. I'm going to go to work, but I'm going to take this anger and this bitterness and just leave it at home. True, there's such a thing as compartmentalization, but we cannot compartmentalize everything because anger and bitterness, unforgiveness are things that are rooted deep within you that seep out into the way you engage with the world. It seeps out into the way you interact with people. It seeps out into how willing you are to let go of the current things people are doing to you if you haven't let go of the old things somebody has done to you. It holds you back. It hinders you because how and why should you be forgiven if you won't forgive somebody else? If we reap what we sow and everybody at least believes in some type of payback, golden rule, karma, at what point is the anger and the resentment and the unforgiveness, at what point are you going to realize just what destruction you're bringing onto your own self? When I was in Crystal Meth Anonymous, my sponsor told me, as I was working through my own anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, what the fuck do I keep wanting to say unresentment? Well, I guess it should be a word, so let it be a word, shit. He told me that me not forgiving someone else and holding on to bitterness is like me drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. In other words, whoever you haven't forgiven yet has control over you. You haven't hurt them, you've only hurt yourself. Again, you cannot separate yourself from bitterness. The best you can do is tuck it away deep inside of you and act like it's not there. But I want to caution you about that type of pretending. Okay, this is when we find ourselves in situations where that bitterness and rage might seep out of us and we're not paying attention to it and somebody else is spotting that. Don't you realize they can cut off opportunities from you? It can hinder you in so many ways. It can show up in your health years down the road. As a massage therapist, I can't tell you how many people would come to me with all kinds of fucked up anatomies And I'm talking to them and I'm realizing they're yet in a stressful situation, or they were in one and they haven't truly processed it through. You press a knot on their shoulder and they burst out in tears, not because the place was so tender, but when trauma and pain and anger goes into us, if we don't let it out, it's not just going to trickle out by itself one day. You know, it went in, it's got to come back out. If you don't let it out, it's going to manifest in your body some type of way, most likely. This could be tumors, cancers, diseases like dementia and shit that show up when you get old. I ain't saying everybody who's ever had these diseases was a bitter person who refused to heal, but I'm saying that that is a possibility that's definitely on the table. So if we're going to live this life, why not give ourselves every opportunity and advantage? You know, God did not design us to, when somebody hurts us, to hold on to that anger, only to go out in the world and pretend like we don't have it. We don't want to stay in this space of pretending because we don't want to, you know, we want to live, deal with life in reality. You know, what is really going on with us, and face that shit and deal with it. God designed us to, that when we have problems, to go to him and use the word, like what I just opened this message with, to work us out of trouble, to work us out of pain, to work us out of bitterness, to work us out of resentment. When you get confused and we don't know what to do, you know, we have a way out. When somebody first hurts us, yes, that's on them. After it's been a while, okay, and I'm not trying to remove or take away the seriousness of what they've done. You know, all people are capable of doing unspeakable things. Okay, but whatever they did is a reflection of them. They did it to us. True, but after a while, if we're still holding on to that, my question to you is, what point does it stop being about what they did and the fact that you're unwilling to let go of what they did? How long, you know, are you going to use that as a crutch? But resentment, anger, bitterness, like I said, it's like a drug. And so if you get high on some shit like heroin, crystal meth, crack, you know, and you know those about you out there who are taking those ski trips on the weekends, hitting the slopes. Okay. That shit can make you feel like superpowered, superhuman. It can make you feel validated and like everything's okay. But the problem is, eventually you have to come down from that shit. It is no different. Like if you call your homegirl or your homie to ruminate and vent about something you feel like somebody has done to you. Y'all know I'm a big proponent against venting. But for those of you who are going to insist upon doing it, my encouragement to you is this. At least vent with a productive angle in mind. So if you talk to your homegirl on Monday, please be able to call her on Friday or Sunday or within some reasonable amount of time and be like, okay, girl, you gave me this advice. This is what I went and did. And this is the quantifiable change that has come from you sitting there and listening to all my fucking problems for an hour, however long it was. Usually what I see is unproductive venting, where people just want to call somebody so that they can reflect back to them whatever it is they're bitching about, therefore providing a temporary sense of validation that's not going to ultimately change the circumstance. There's somebody in my family right now who I'm trying to work with, who's dealing with one of the many narcissistic people in my family. And I was telling them, like, okay, I'm going to help you, but we're going to have to approach this strategically. And I got to be sure that your head is in the right space, that you're actually trying to change the situation and not just trying to talk shit about the person. They're not just trying to hear me reflect back to you the negative things that you already know they are. Look, if you have somebody negative in your life who's not going to change, if people are not inherently evil, although when they continually allow themselves to be conduits of evil, it can be pretty fucking hard to tell the difference in between like them and the devil on some days. Okay. But nevertheless, you already understand this person's nature. So either you're going to accept them how they are or change your situation and get the fuck out of there and let them go. But continually bitching and complaining about it, i.e. venting, with no practical plan in place, is not doing anything but feeding more energy to this person who's siphoning energy off of you already. Okay, they're probably not sitting around talking about you the same way. Not if you're the one who's sitting there doing that about them. So I want you to be smarter about that and pay attention to how you're spending your energy. You don't have a limitless amount of energy. You don't have limitless time on this plane of existence. You will not be here forever. Okay. Every person I've ever known who's ever died has not come back in reincarnation. They are yet in the spirit world because I see them in my sleep. I talk to them and things like that. They talk to me about what's going on. So they can't be back here and yet be reincarnated. So, you know, if you think you're coming back here in some other form, you will come back here when you die, but you're coming back as a spirit. And so make the most of the time and live yourself a good high quality life, baby, and let this anger go. But when you call in these people and you're venting, you hang up the phone, you feel great. And it really pisses me off that it's so fucking hard to get somebody to place a phone call in this day and time. But I watch people call and vent verbally. You know, why is it so easy for us to spread negativity like that? A person cannot call me just to vent. They can call me to work out a solution. You know, I'll validate their problems, but we don't have to have a plan in place. Other than that, you're just wasting my time. That I am not about to do. You need to call somebody if you're going to vent who has higher knowledge than you. A counselor, some spiritual leader, a parent whom you respect, a friend, if they are further along down the road in whatever your issue is than you. If you're having relationship problems, bitch, why the fuck would you call a friend who's single? If you have a relationship or who haven't been through that same situation that you've been in specifically and can tell you about that, you know, why? You just don't do that. But just be mindful, because what the devil is trying to do is trick you with these temporary senses of feelings of validation and satisfaction, which are not actually of God, and they're fake and they're false. And then before you know it, you're going to need to go and do it again and get a refill, because it really wasn't a true healing. It was just a temporary patch over. There are those of you who don't believe in the devil. Okay, maybe you have not had the displeasure of wrestling with devils and demons in the middle of the night like I have. And no, it wasn't psychosis, bitch, because this shit started way back when I was a child, before I had even done drugs, which I didn't even start till I was damn near 30 years old. I know there's schools of thought that try to explain away waking up in the middle of the night feeling like you're struggling with a force. I hold space for that, but I also hold space for waking up and feeling a strong evil presence in the room and light switches and lights and shit going on and off by themselves. Okay, I know what the fuck I'm saying. The devil is real. And I need you to understand that there is a sentient being that wishes to hurt you and hinder you. But you also have a God who's a sentient being that has sent you all kinds of help and things like that to help you, to help work you out of your situations. So perhaps instead of feeding into this false sense of validation, you can do something like go on YouTube, look up some positive videos, read a book for once and put your cell phone down and write in a journal, okay, with a pencil and not on an iPad. And I think I plan to do a blog or something soon about the benefits of physically writing as opposed to technology, which is stealing your mind, whether you realize it or not. And let's just let go of all of these things that are like this false sense of validation and get some real strength. Like when I was younger, y'all know I say I'm 17, okay? But before the Lord around the clock and restored, you know, 20 years to my life like he just did, you know, back when I was, you know, just in Houston and fresh out the military and just so empty on the inside, devoid of a sense of self, didn't know really who I was. That one of the things that brought me the most sense of false validation was when I would go down to J. Alexander's in Houston, Texas on Westheimer. I would go in there and buy whatever, probably like a prime rib or some orzo and wild rice, some Erica Vare off the menu, as I would do. And the bill would be like $80. And then I would give them like a $20 tip. I love the way that they would smile and they would nod and really show that appreciation, hold the door open for me. And I would do it damn near every night until I spent all the money in my fucking check. And now I'm at the payday loan place and I ain't got no fucking money, you know. And then when I started doing drugs, I just switched from one thing to a different vice that helped me feel validation. You know, no matter how many nights I went to that restaurant to get validation, bitch, I still needed more. But fuck, I felt good for that one night. Okay. What the fuck else does this to us? We can go out and shop ourselves to death like that. They will walk. They used to walk me to the front of the line at the rail at Nordstrom when I would come in there and spend money I didn't have. But it made me feel great for that one night. But then I needed more validation the next fucking day. So there I am back at the mall shopping again. Sex. Okay. Do we really talk about how people use sex for validation? And that one particularly pisses me off, because at least the shit that you know, I just mentioned is just me hurting myself, be it drugs, shopping and things like that. And I'm not trying to judge people who use sex for validation, but it strikes a more bitter chord when a human is using another human, okay, to get the validation they need or to patch over a wound. Okay, if you're going to destroy yourself, that's your choice. And you know, if I want to go tie off and do heroin on the corner, while it's pitiful to look at least I didn't drag you down with me, okay? And so, you know, going out there sleeping with people, never really feeling whole. Sex is a beautiful spiritual cosmic exchange which God invented, and the world has corrupted it with how easy it is to obtain, with a lack of emotion and love and heart and mental and spiritual and emotional connection that is in it, if it's even at all. People even have the balls and the gall to say that they have meaningless sex. What the fuck does that supposed to mean? So you enter into sex and put yourself in a state, mental state of denial about what it actually is, or you thought you had the power to alchematize that shit into some sort of dumbed down version other than what God originally intended it to be. No, you don't have that power. And that is why the more you do it, the more lost you feel, because you're killing you're giving a little bit of yourself away with every shallow exchange you have, especially sexual. People overwork themselves. They get the office way too early and stay way too late just to get a pat on the back or an attaboy, because there is something within us that is not fully fulfilled. So then what am I saying? In order for us to really get healed, we got to become practical in the way we approach it. Establish a plan, bitch. Get logical. Get to praying. Sort yourself out mentally and spiritually. Because really what you're trying to solve is not a physical problem. Emotions like invalidation and insecurity, they will wiggle their ways into your flesh, but they were not born of the flesh. Okay. The people who hurt you with a bad energy. It could have come across as physical violence, rape, molestation, negative words, but some negative energy that was prevailing over that person got into you. You know, what you've fallen into is a place where that negative energy that they put into you, you're carrying it with you, and you're going out there and putting that into somebody else, because now you're going out hurting other people. And then you're also limiting yourself and closing doors in your own face, because you will not let what they did to you go. I digressed a little on that, but we have to become prayerful. We have to actually be conscious about what we're going to do. The foremost thing is approaching it like, yes, I want to let this go. It might be hard. I know I've been bitter like this a long time, so I got to relearn these neural pathways. I got to retrain myself, untrain myself on the old ways and train myself on the new ways. But there's plenty of counseling, all kinds of stuff available. I want you to go after your spiritual, emotional, and internal healing the way you go after all the other things in this world that you want. Money, sex, alcohol, drugs, children, whatever the fuck it is that you put on a high, you have it placed high in your value list. You know, you don't let nothing stop you from getting the things you really want. I need you to approach this internal healing with that tenacity, that same tenacity, and take this shit seriously. Okay, this is true quality of life. When I was a recruiter, there was a man who came into my office who had money, was well paid, well traveled and everything, and he was a loss. And he was a fine, beautiful man too. I mean, the world at his fingertips, unhappy, unwhole on the inside. So it's not in accomplishments, it's not in money, it's not in posting shit on social media, it's for fuck's sakes, it's not on watching people on social media. Jesus Christ. You know, living in this world where it seems like so few people I come across and know who the hell they are, got their phones in their hands and just keep up with every damn body else but themselves. Jesus, take the wheel and have mercy. Lay down the negativity. Let it go. Pick up positivity. And when it gets hard, don't give up. I'm not saying any of this to put you down. I'm just saying this because I've been coming across so many people caught in a negative loop. And yes, I've helped you and I've helped to pray you up out of it and work with you out of it. But, you know, this is a decision you really, really, really got to make for yourself. And I hope you can understand how you're really not hurting anyone but you by not doing what Elsa told you to do, baby, which was to let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Honey, God is even trying to talk to you through Disney, bitch. Just will you open your ears and listen? God is practically begging and pleading with you to just get happy and to sort out where happiness truly comes from, which is not from a human. Be it me going to a restaurant trying to get validation from the servers, be it the sex addict trying to go out there and use God's people to their own, you know, devious devices just to feel good for a night or for a few hours or whatever the case may be. The problem with all of that is that you're looking to a person to give you something that you can only get by sorting out your connection with the one above. Okay. You're going to always come up short, and God is not going to allow you to be satisfied as long as you, God is not going to allow you to be satisfied as long as you keep looking for true wholeness and satisfaction from a human. And the Bible told us about how Jesus did not fully commit himself onto humans, even though he helped us because he knew what was in man. It is not a wise thing to try to build up who you are on the inside by letting humanity be your foundation. No human can make you whole. You have got to sort that out yourself. And if you do, then you will take this power back you've given over people. And then you will have it unto yourselves and you will actually have strength in life. So I don't care how weak you've been or how low you've gone, honey, you can, all, as long as you are breathing, you can start all over again. Okay. As Dave Koz's song says, which I quote so often, again, Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, man, woman, child, a transgender person, fill in blank. And it is to their honor and to their glory. It's to your glory, baby. You want to be glorious? Here's a way you can be glorious: to overlook a transgression or an offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. When you have spiritual understanding, then you will come to understand why this makes sense. The logic of the world tells you you have power when you stay mad at people, which gets you into a weak area of playing the victim. You weren't created to be a victim. You were created to be strong and to be a champion. You understand the counter logic. It's not about being resentful and staying angry. It's about being powerful and strong enough to be like, I know why that person did what they did, even though I know they're never going to apologize, even though I know they're never going to make it right or anything. I know why, and I choose to let it go. And I'm moving on with my life. That takes more power, more self-control, and more discipline than staying angry. That is when you have true strength. And so if the Lord is saying that good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger and to not seek revenge or harbor resentment, then what's the opposite of that? That means if you are quick to anger or you harbor resentment and you seek revenge, that means you do not have good sense. Okay. whether your flesh is telling you you feel like you have sense, or whether your homegirl on the phone is telling you, yeah, fuck that motherfucker, you know, go burn his shit down. You actually, what God is saying is that you do not have good sense. And I'm going to tell y'all better start measuring your life based on wisdom, you know, spiritual wisdom, and not on what this world is telling you. I don't give a damn how popular something is on this plane of existence. You're not going to be here forever. So get some spiritual understanding and start living your life like you're going to have an afterlife and like you have a soul and a spirit to tend to. And match up your life with spiritual wisdom and not the carnal wisdom of the world, because it is contrary. The world's wisdom tells you stay angry, stay bitter, never get healed, and go and hide the problems in vices and in distractions that will never make you whole. Spiritual wisdom tells you to get over that shit as quick as possible so you can get on with your existence. Therein lies the difference, but to truly get over it. Okay. So again, stop hurting yourself, get professional counseling, get spiritual guidance, and learn to live a new life of true freedom apart from negativity, bitterness, unforgiveness, and unresentment shit. And then everything is truly going to be all right. Reach out to me with any questions. You can contact me through social media or at sexdrugsandjesus.com. I love you all. Kisses.